Welcome back to Voices from the Front Lines on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. And my co-host helped me. I corrected myself. I said no on 83. I meant no on 85, but you should vote no on 83, too. And you'll hear more about that when we get to it later in the show.
So we would now like to welcome Diane Takvorian and Tony Lopresti to the show. Diane Takvorian is the executive director and founder of Environmental Health Coalition, an environmental justice organization based in the San Diego-Tijuana region that does community organizing and policy advocacy to protect health and the environment threatened by toxic pollution. Tony Lopresti is a policy advocate at the Environmental Health Coalition, focusing on land use and environmental racism in urban communities. Diane and Tony will be joining us today to talk about one of the most dangerous propositions on the ballot, Proposition 90. Welcome, Diane and Tony, to the show. We're pleased to have you on.
Thanks so much for having us.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So Proposition 90 is titled Government Acquisition Regulation of Private Property. And if passed, for our listeners, it would limit government authority to declare eminent domain, and it would require government to compensate property owners if there are new laws or regulations that result in substantial economic loss to their property. We wanted to start, Tony, with the first provision of this that has to do with eminent domain. Can you explain to us how would Proposition 90 change the rules around eminent domain?
Well, essentially, with regards to eminent domain, it would tighten up the definition of blight, which is one of the kind of fundamental concepts behind eminent domain. That's usually used to justify the formation of redevelopment zones where eminent domain is often used. And so it would have a higher standard for what qualifies as blight in an urban community. And it would also tighten up the definition of public use as a justification for the application of eminent domain. So essentially, eminent domain could not be used for the purposes of economic development in any way, shape, or form under Proposition 90.
Okay. And what are your thoughts about just that provision of the initiative? Because I know that the supporters of Prop 90 are really trying to sort of get people to vote for Prop 90 based on the fear of losing our home to government, right? But what are your thoughts just in general about whether or not eminent domain is an important tool for government to have?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that eminent domain needs to be better controlled. Mm-hmm. It's been abused widely across the country. So, you know, what we see in Proposition 90, though, is that this is not about eminent domain. We really think this is a Trojan horse. We see that Prop 90 limits government's ability to protect the environment, public health, and the public welfare. So basically, it's a huge power grab by developers that don't want to be held in check by government or by public interest groups of any kind. So, you know, I think that there is need for progressive measures that can better control and direct the use of eminent domain, but this goes way beyond that.
And explain a little bit about how this goes way beyond that, because I think, again, you know, all we're hearing about Prop 90 is around the eminent domain piece. And, you know, like you were saying, there are government really abuses their power to use eminent domain and tends to declare eminent domain on the most vulnerable communities for projects, often like freeways that we really don't need. But what is behind this? What makes this the Trojan horse that you're saying it is?
Well, essentially it would require that private property owners be fully compensated when any government regulation causes their property to lose value. So everything related to land use regulation, from zoning designations to parking meters, could be grounds for a demand for compensation. So what we see is that the fundamental right of government, the fundamental duty of government to protect our rights would be greatly compromised.
And Diane, can you talk a little? Can you talk about just how, you know, specifically why is your own organization opposing this, and what would this mean for your own work? And I know you've been involved in the environmental justice movement for many years now. So you know, how are you guys framing your own argument against Proposition 90?
Well, I think that one of the critical issues here is that Proposition 90 really limits the government's ability to respond to change. And one of the things that we've learned over that 26 years that Environmental Health Coalition has been in existence is that we learn new things every day about toxic chemicals or proximity to polluting industries, freeways, et cetera, that we learn new things every day about our proximity to those sources of pollution that enables us to act in a responsible way to protect people's health and the environment. And so this law, Prop 90, would actually eliminate government's ability to respond to those changing conditions. So, for instance, Environmental Health Coalition has been involved in land use issues that have resulted in environmental racism in low-income communities of color for over 20 years. In many of these communities, we have what they call mixed-use zoning, which allows industrial polluters to be right next door to homes and schools. And we know that that's not a good situation, obviously, for public health or for any kind of quality of life. We've succeeded in a number of ways in restricting or eliminating that kind of mixed-use zoning as we learn more about, for instance, with chrome plating, hexavalent chromium turns out to be a potent carcinogen. We didn't know that 15, 20 years ago. We know it now, and we can begin to act on that. But this law would prohibit us from acting on new information that we get in changing conditions.
So just I wanted to ask a question. This is Damon Anzoli, the other co-host. I know in Los Angeles there was a whole big thing that we were actually trying to push to help to try to force the government to actually impose eminent domain stipulations on some land around the South Central Forum, which was the biggest urban farm that we were hoping that the mayor would actually say, hey, we want to protect this kind of for like the public good. The question I have to you, since you have more experience with this, what drives government to actually impose eminent domain? Can it be from like, have you heard of history of if grassroots movements and whatnot have a lot of pressure to actually do that, or is it mostly coming from the kind of corporation development side?
Well, I think as Tony said, it comes in from both directions, and so we do need some more controls on eminent domain, but it's not a tool that we should remove from the government toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
We think that it's a tool that government needs to have, use responsibly to accomplish things like the project example that you named. We think that eminent domain could be used to remove polluters from within residential communities and actually relocate them to an industrial zone, not put them out of business, but put them into a place where they're more appropriate. And Tony has an example of an ordinance that we recently got passed that we think will be threatened by Prop 90.
Yeah, so, one of the issues that we face in the community that we organize in San Diego called the Old Town National City community, it's a residential community that has a whole lot of industrial polluters, particularly auto body and paint shops mixed in, about 20 of them in a 5x15 block area. And for 50 years, this pattern has been intact. It was historically kind of the Latino hub of this city. An old white guard political group changed the zoning to be kind of an anything goes zoning designation, invited these industrial uses into the residential neighborhood. For decades, residents have been fighting to get rid of those industrial uses, mm-hmm. and they just passed this August, after residents organized an ordinance that would allow the phase-out of those uses. Under Proposition 90, you would not be able to phase those uses out. The law would still be intact, but you would not actually be able to phase them out of the neighborhood because it would compromise property value. So there are a lot of victories that social justice and environmental justice organizations have scored or are in the process of winning that would be made moot.
And can you talk a little bit about what's happening on the national level around this? Because I know that initiatives like Proposition 90 have been springing up not just in California, but following a recent Supreme Court ruling that I believe upholds the right of states to declare eminent domain. And are you guys familiar with whether or not what impact these types of initiatives have had in other states?
Well, we know that it's been enacted and proposed in 12 different states, and one state, Oregon, passed this law about over a year ago. And to our knowledge, recent information tells us that there have been 2,700 claims filed under this law totaling $6 billion.
Wow.
And the government at the state and local level will have to deal with each one of these claims, and it means that taxpayers are going to have to be paying the bills for this, for these claims. So we can expect, this isn't some projection that we don't know about, we can expect that this is what will happen in California. Mm-hmm. And what we know is this is a well-orchestrated national effort to end government, local government's responsibility and authority to respond to public health and environmental threats and to improve our quality of life.
So, Diana, I mean, you were just talking about how this was enacted in 12 states, and if we look at the other propositions, say, you know, 85, 83, all these are kind of in all these smaller districts at less than federal, they're being pushed in all these different ways. So maybe you would, can you tell us what do you see in terms of this kind of like attack? Who are the forces behind it? And what would be your kind of like suggestion for the United Front to fight against it?
Well, it seems clear that development interests and property rights, the property rights movement is behind this measure and these measures in these 12 states. And clearly it's important for community organizations who work at the local level to be able to mobilize their members and voters in their areas to defeat this bill. And then I think that we probably do need to deal with eminent domain and what the pros and cons are of eminent domain and how it should be modified in a responsible way. And perhaps that's something that those of us in the social and environmental justice movements can come together on so that we can propose reasonable reforms. I think there are some state legislators that have begun to propose those. I know here at Environmental Health Coalition, we've been having conversations about eminent domain for a number of months now so that we could begin to understand what its responsible role is in government and how we can protect our communities using eminent domain. So it seems to me we have to defeat this tomorrow, and then I think we need to get together and talk about what the right kind of reform is.
You know, I it makes me laugh over this whole concept of, like, property rights groups, you know, because it's like private property, you know, rules in this country, right? And so this whole notion that they need, like, more protection from the government, you know, as if people's rights really, as if private property is ever really infringed upon. But, you know, one question I have, because I know you guys are out there talking to voters and really trying to convince people to vote against this, is what kind of reactions are you getting? Because I'm always sort of fascinated by how does the right get people to vote for things like this? And in this case, I feel like, you know, one thing is playing again on people's fears of eminent domain and you know, the people's sort of legitimate fear that the government will take their home, and we know that it has happened in ways, in abusive ways. But then also this sort of this phenomenon in this country of people voting not in their own interest at all, but voting for what they one day hope they'll be. So in this case, you know, you have like lower middle class folks who hope that one day they'll be the large business owners who don't want government to regulate them, even though that's not who they are now. So I'd be interested in hearing just what are you guys finding down there in the San Diego region, and I don't know if you guys are doing door knocking or precinct walking, but what kind of reactions are you finding?
Yeah, we're definitely out there talking to residents in the environmental justice communities that we work in on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, we took a position on a number of different propositions. This is one of two that we decided to be very active on.
Mm-hmm.
And what I can say is that it's very difficult to talk about this proposition because it's so complicated, and it's one of those where the devils are really in the details, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it took us as staff members a whole lot of practice just to get a wrap down that people could understand and get their teeth into. And for our leaders and volunteers, it took a long time as well. I think, you know, in each of the communities that we work in, the U.S. communities that we work in, and eminent domain has been a very hot issue. There's been, you know, a ballot initiative in one of the cities. There was a year-long debate in another city about it. So people really start from the place of just wanting to, quote-unquote, protect our homes,
mm-hmm.
as this is nicknamed. So you really have to, I think, give solid examples of how this would affect their community and prevent the positive changes that they want to see in their community for them to really understand it.
So then, Tony, in terms of your for folks who haven't gone outdoor knocking, what would be your rap as you go and knock on the door?
Well, I usually start actually by talking about the source of this. You know, this is a ballot initiative that was put on the ballot by a libertarian-oriented developer from New York named, amazingly enough, Howie Rich. he put, you know, several million dollars into it to get it on the ballot. And, you know, they say it's about eminent domain. It's not about eminent domain. It's about taking away government's rights to protect our interests as residents of the community. And I really try to give examples that are specific to the community. So one example that's, you know, particularly relevant in each of our communities has to do with height limits and community character. So in almost every community that we're in, people want to densify. They want to build 20-story skyscrapers. They want to build, you know, middle-class condos. And so, you know, what I say is that, you know, if as residents we were to organize and come together and say, you know, government, we don't want a 20-story height limit here. We only want a 4-story height limit here. And the government were convinced by it, they wouldn't be able to pass that law that changes the height limit from 20 stories to 4 stories unless they were to pay the developer for the 16 stories of lost development potential. And that means that they, as residents, as taxpayers, would have to pay that. So, you know, when you give that example about a struggle that they're fighting in their own community, it really hits home.
That makes a lot of sense. So, Diane and Tony, why don't you give us your contact information? If you have a voter guide that people can access online, please give that out too.
Sure. We do have a voter guide, and our featured propositions are Proposition 90. We're encouraging people to vote no on Proposition 90 and yes on Proposition 1C for affordable housing. And so you can access that at environmentalhealth.org. And there's a button right there that says vote November 7th. Just press on that and you'll get it. And our basic tagline with Proposition 90 is don't let developers control your government, and that's what this is about. People want to have self-determination and vision for their own communities, and that's one of the things we want to preserve.
Great. So, well, we'll definitely make sure that we go out and vote tomorrow. We want to encourage all of our listeners to go out and vote tomorrow, vote no on Proposition 90. And Diane and Tony, thank you very much. It was good to have you on. And let's just hope for the best tomorrow.
Thank you for your great program and for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for focusing on this.
No problem. So you're listening to Voices from the Frontlines on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. We'll be right back with Lisa Kung from the Southern Center for Human Rights to talk about Proposition 83, the satellite monitoring proposition. We'll be right back.